Let me hear it.
Money.
Money talks.
Your trusted resource for your money.
Your future.
Your life.
Kick it.
We're back. You're listening to Money Talks, your trusted resource for your money, your future, your life. I'm Troy Harmon. I'm here with Adam Stadalius, who looks like he might be nodding off.
This chair is pretty comfy.
I might wake him up.
I'm not going to lie. This is a pretty nice chair.
Yeah. And then we have Jarrett McKenzie, who's always the life of the party.
Yes, sir.
Even if Adam sleeps through it.
Keep it lively in here.
Jarrett, there we go.
As long as we got some good stuff to talk about.
Careful what you ask for,
what
Troy.
Is not good about talking? Finance, economics.
That's true.
Might even sprinkle a little politics in there.
I know. Yeah, I get a little too excited, my wife would say.
Oh, really? About things yeah. that she seems to think don't matter at all.
She's like, Jared, I just asked about your day. I didn't really need all the detail.
I've actually had the response before, I just asked you what time it is. I didn't want to know how to build the watch.
Yep, that's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah. Well, careful what you ask.
That's right.
Kelly Lynn.
Yes.
Speaking of asking things, where are we going next?
I want to actually announce Hensler Financial is opening a TikTok channel.
Whoa.
A TikTok channel.
Just in time
for the government to shut it down.
I know. Well, trust me, in marketing, we have been planning this for several months. We've been getting all of our
We're going to be on the TikTok.
We're getting all of our videos ready and what happens. Yeah. So this week.
Some of the most excitement you'll ever see is maybe Adam Stadalius sleeping through a TikTok.
I'm going to work on that actually after the
you
show.
You should.
I'm going to be on TikTok.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of TikTok. I don't agree to that.
Well, I just became one. I want to see what Adam's got to say.
Yeah. Aside from the news, find us at Hensler Financial on the TikTok.
We don't have to dance.
How about that?
No, unless you want
not
to.
Not much.
You think I'm going to dance?
If it makes you like, get
if you want to see Big Bird dancing, then you got it. But I don't know
that's,
if you want to
see Big Bird dancing.
Not sure how compliance is going to feel about that.
Well, now everybody's tuning in.
Yeah. Yeah, how about that?
Okay, actually, I do have a case study here. Keith and Natasha, they write in. Our daughter Amber is finishing grad school this spring. We intended to transfer her 529 plan assets to her younger sister. However, it looks like her sister Belle will be pursuing pro sports. So she's going to kind of go into golf while she can. So we don't know if college will be in the cards for her. They opened the account 2007. They know they could transfer the assets to someone else in the family, but they sacrificed a lot during the early years to save as much as they could, and they're not really willing to give it away to like cousins and stuff.
Yep.
So what can they do with extra money left in this account?
Well, starting this year, it's actually a new rule.
I
think
I know.
You guys may have got a question about last week, which is part of the reason we wanted to cover this today, because it is becoming quite a hot topic. We've gotten a couple of questions from clients about it just this week, in fact. And so it's a great, great current relevant topic here. And that additional option is converting the funds to a Roth IRA. Now, this is a very dynamic and complex new rule, so I don't know that we'll have enough time to get into all of the details of this on today's show, but we did want to cover some of the highlights just to make sure everyone knows what we know at this point. Again, we're still waiting on
some clarity. We're still waiting on some guidance,
because
there's a lot of questions still, but there are some basics.
There very much is.
We'll start with the basics.
Yeah, so number one, the account must be open for a minimum of 15 years. That's one of the high points here. That 529, you can't start it when your child's 18 in hopes of immediately converting to a Roth right after they're done with college, or even in the midst of college. Got to be there for 15 years.
But like this couple, I mean, they started it when their kid was in kindergarten. I mean, that's usually when people kind of start thinking about it, maybe when the kid goes to school.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's they're in a good place as far as that goes.
And they technically had a second sibling to transfer it to.
Yes,
which is still an option. Is yeah. an option, but when you get somebody who doesn't want to go to college, now what?
Yeah, so that's really where this would come in great, because that the money, at least up to $35,000 of whatever excess may be still remaining in the 529, that is the maximum limit, and that is, by the way, a lifetime limit. Okay, so $35,000 mm-hmm. would be the most you could convert from the 529 to the Roth IRA. That money on the lifetime limit could go to the Roth, but it is subject to the annual contribution limits, number one. And number two,
So you can only do so much a year.
Exactly.
Up to your earned income.
Yes, exactly. And that is the beneficiary's earned income now, because what I was just drawing a blank on there was the fact that currently you cannot change the beneficiary back to yourself and then do a conversion for yourself as the parent, let's say, or grandparent, whoever it was that contributed the money. Right now, you'd have to open a Roth IRA in the beneficiary's name, which would typically be the child, the college student, mm-hmm. right, and convert the money over there. But that person, the child, whomever that may be,
yeah.
has to have earned income, to Adam's point, up to the amount that is being converted from the 529 to the Roth. So right now, that person could contribute or convert from a 529 to a Roth up to $7,000. That's the max for someone under 50. But let's just say right after college, you know, they backpacked through Europe for the summer and didn't earn much the second half of the year, and maybe they only earned or had $5,000 of earned income for this year. Well, then $5,000 would be the limitation on what could be contributed from the 529 to the Roth. So that's another important conversion consideration that should be taken into account here. Another thing that it was kind of highlighted as far as what we know now is mm-hmm. that the conversion must have been funded or go or contributed at least 5 years prior. So you can't, again, do it immediately.
Okay.
And, you know, if you do change beneficiaries, that's one of the things we're waiting on, is does that rule start over with the 15 years?
Yeah.
You mentioned it earlier, Kelly Lynn, about...
Right.
You know, let's just say they did change it to their other child, the beneficiary of this 529 plan, mm-hmm. and then there was still excess when they were finished.
Right.
Well,
does it reset the clock?
Does it reset the clock? Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's still a lot of gray areas out there.
Yep. So
I think what I read was one of the things is like if you got a state tax, you know, benefit from a contribution, is that going to be clawed back?
It very well could be.
Yeah.
I have not seen anything yet as to whether or not.
That was a question that I had saw, and I was like, mm-hmm. I don't know that answer.
Well, and that's honestly the people that we've, you know, been communicating with this about, because again, it's come up a few times here mm-hmm. recently, and you know, we've been sort of trying to employ some patience with them to say, this is a new rule. It's very dynamic. I mean, look, it was part of the SECURE Act 2.0, which, by the way, was a 4,000-page bill.
Oh yeah.
So there's. I know it's like I can't believe somebody actually would. There are people that read through it for sure, but
yeah.
I could never make.
You read that to your wife, right?
Yeah. I do it every night. Help put her to sleep.
Yeah, I bet she's out by the end of page one.
But no, that's. Not only is it a massive bill, but also this is a very dynamic rule that, you know, financial institutions are even still struggling to wrap their head around and mm-hmm. you know, make sure that it's facilitated properly when used. I mean, the SECURE Act 2.0 came out in the end of 2022, and that's why this did not go into effect until 2024, because the idea was help, you know, allow some time for everyone to digest, you know, this new rule,
right.
prepare for it and the things, because 529s are state-sponsored plans. You know, Roth IRAs are individual retirement accounts.
Right.
And so there's still some logistics, I guess you could say, with how is this going to work, particularly between institutions, making sure everybody is following the rules and adhering to some of these, you know, highlights we mentioned as far as how long the account's been in place and all that. So it's a very dynamic rule, like I said, and mm-hmm. certainly something we should be talking about and considering, but taking action in this regard at this point in time, I don't think would be prudent, because like you said earlier, Kelly Lynn, the IRS guidance and the clarity we still need from them is very important, because look, we lacked that as well with RMDs when the SECURE Act 2.0 changed that, or maybe that was I get mixed up on the Secure Act and which was covered.
It was a Secure Act.
Both of them impacted RMDs.
Yeah, so
required minimum distributions.
Right, but with inherited RMDs, inherited IRA RMDs, you know, people supposedly...
Oh, that new 10-year rule. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So initially we thought, okay, it can all be taken in the first year right after the decedent's death. You can wait until the end of the 10th year, or you can take it throughout the course of that 10-year period. But since that came into effect, we've gotten new guidance from the IRS saying, no, there should still be an annual requirement that only lasts 10 years. Our tax team gave us a bunch of information on that recently. And so, you know, again, the additional clarity and guidance...
But again, it was not written into the law. It was IRS who had to come through and give you the...
Because anytime there is legislation this substantial, it always comes down to interpretation, right? And that's where this came in, because the IRS said, no, we interpret it differently than what the public had clearly been interpreting it before then. And that's what I'm saying. With this, there could also be some of that. So you don't want to have to undo stuff.
Even then, legal cases can actually adjust that.
Exactly. If there's a precedent set. I mean,
Right. So you can leave assets in a 529 plan, though.
You certainly can, yeah. Okay. I mean, to your point, you change the beneficiary.
Okay.
If you have another child, move it to them, and let you know, change that. But also, I mean, you do have the option to take it out or apply it towards student loans for that person. That would be a qualified expense in terms of taking money out of the 529. But if you take it out because you just want it back to spend it, you are going to incur a 10% penalty on the withdrawal plus pay ordinary
income
tax.
But that's on the earnings, correct?
Yes.
Not your contribution, since technically that's... After tax.
Exactly. Yeah. Kind of like the Roth. That's why the Roth and the 529 are quite similar. I think that may be where they made this connection when they wrote this into law, because, yes, with a Roth IRA, it's the same way you're putting after-tax money into that account, so you're not going to pay tax on the money again when you pull it back out. But that's just principal, not the earnings and growth and all that. But like you said, too, there's also consideration with if you got a state tax deduction for contributing to your state's 529 plan, that could also be clawed back. That's another thing we're waiting to find out here. I mean, again, there's still so many things unanswered.
So there are options. It's just not there's not a time ticking clock on this.
Right. The purpose of this is more so to make sure the public's aware that this is now an option they should at least look into and consider, more so than taking action on at this point.
Yeah. Sounds good. And quite often, you don't even find yourself in that situation, right?
Right, exactly. There's no reason for urgency here.
Right.
All right. Well, coming up next, we're going to hit that question mailbag. I have a question from my good friend Bill Murray. So, you're listening to Money Talks.
Your good friend Bill Murray.
Yep.
Got you covered, Bill.
You're listening to Money Talks, your trusted resource for your money, your future, your life.
This has been a production of Hensler Money Talks. All material presented is from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decision and is not intended to replace the advice of qualified professionals, such as tax consultants, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in the Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.